Stats in a Wrap, the podcast series from Eurostat.
Google Maps und Maps vom iPhone.
Das usava un dużo map, żeby normalmente para moverme alrededor de las ciudades.
Maps for my job only if I have to.
Yes, I use maps daily just if I'm...
Ik gebruik elke dag wel maps, kaarten.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Stats in a Wrap, a podcast all about statistics, brought to you by Eurostat, the statistical office of the European Union. I'm Jonathan Elliott, your host for this episode, which is all about stats and maps. That's right, the things we navigate with when we're driving, used to fold up, but now all carry in our pockets, on our phones, of course. We've never had so much mapping power to hand, but as well as navigation and geography, maps are powerful tools for visualising data, especially statistics. And nowhere is that more true than among the 27 member states of the European Union. In an era of short attention spans and information overload, it helps enormously to show time-poor citizens statistics in context. Maps can translate immensely complex numerical data into strikingly clear visualizations and give us an instant snapshot we can all understand. And now powerful software makes it easier than ever to create infographic maps ourselves. But while errors with numbers in a table might be easy to spot, images representing them are more subtle, and it is easier to mislead if you don't know what you're doing. And that's important because geographic information systems, as they're known, are the gateway to the public understanding of the data that affects them, which is why I'm very excited about today's episode. And so, without further ado, I would like to introduce our four guests to talk about maps and data. They are Konstantina Michalopoulou, who is a Statistical and Communications Officer at Eurostat. Konstantina, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thanks a lot for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Lovely to have you here, Konstantina. Ricardo Scaramella is the coordinator of the EU Annual Report on the State of Regions and Cities and a Policy Officer at the European Committee of Regions. Ricardo, welcome.
Hello, hi. Thanks for calling me. I'm very happy to be here with all of you. Thanks.
Thanks. And Joseph Davis is a data visualization specialist front end at GISCO at the European Commission. Joe, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
And last, by no means least, Hannes Reuter is a statistical officer also at GISCO. Hannes, welcome.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me around here.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to see you all here. Now, Joe, just tell us a little bit about your work. First of all, you're a cartographer. You're the map specialist here, among other things. Can you just tell us a bit about what GISCO is and what it does?
GISCO is essentially the provider of geospatial services and data for Eurostat and the European Commission. We are everything maps and geospatial data. So we handle map making, we handle the processing of geospatial data and its dissemination.
And working alongside Joe is Hannes. Hannes, you're also at GISCO. Just tell us a bit. You've got a very big remit, haven't you? I mean, the sheer scale of the information output that you need to work with is quite substantial. Just tell us a bit about the scope of your work.
Thanks, Jonathan. Maybe I would like to explain first this little acronym GISCO, which we have during today. GISCO stands for Geographic Information System Coordination of the European Commission. And the Commission is really good in inventing acronyms. Our scope of work starts off obtaining geospatial data, analyzing it, and then disseminating it out to the European public or our main customer, which is the European Commission, where we are bringing out this kind of geospatial data, geospatial services to our clients.
I mean, that's always good to know. We have a few other acronyms coming up, I think, as we go through. Konstantina, of course, you're within dissemination. You're out there telling the public about the great work that's going on at Eurostat. And you probably have to deal with quite a few acronyms yourself, I imagine. Just tell us a bit about your work and particularly how it works with data visualization, infographics and maps in particular.
So basically, my work in dissemination is twofold. I am the social media coordination for Eurostat, and I am also part of the institutional support service where we reply to questions coming from colleagues working in other EU institutions and services. Basically, maps is an excellent way to present data and to tell the story behind the raw figures and help people understand our data, which is our overall objective in dissemination.
Absolutely right. Yes. Well, we'll be hearing a lot more about the public perception of data and statistics through maps and how important that is a little bit later. But Ricardo, let me come to you. Just help us out with the European Committee of the Regions and the EU annual report on the state of the regions and cities. Tell us a little bit more about the committee and its report.
The CUR, the Committee of the Regions, is an assembly of elected politicians at local level, which are gathered in Brussels. And we work as a trade union between the European institutions, so the Brussels bubble, and the regional level. We are based on memberships, and these members are local elected politicians. Our angle is the regional level. We focus on which are the main challenges or the main novelties. Regions and cities are those facing the most impacts of the crisis. We have passed via the COVID crisis a few years ago. We have the climate changes and the climate crisis. Now we are having also the impacts of the Russian war against Ukraine. So these are three topics that we may include in our annual regional report. And then we focus on what are the regions doing and how they are overcoming these challenges and crises.
Let us just remind ourselves, this is the 17th edition of Stats in a Wrap, and regular listeners will know that sometimes, as a little icebreaker, I like to test our guests with a brain teaser, a quiz, in fact. Yes, it's the 2024 inaugural Stats in a Wrap quiz, which only has one question. Joe Davis is disqualified from the quiz because he knows too much. And unfortunately...
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah, I know.
No.
He would win. He would beat you all hands down. No problem. He's got to act as an advisory role today. In fact, I might ask you, Joe, if you do know the answer. But no pressure. Okay, so one question. The following terms all refer to something in cartography. Fingers on the button. What are the following terms? What do they all have in common? What do they refer to? The armadillo, the waterman butterfly, and number three, bogs eumorphic. To what do these terms refer? Fingers on the button. Anyone got any answers? Not Joe.
Not at all.
I told you he'd know.
No idea.
Joe, help us out.
No pressure, but I believe they're all map projections.
They are indeed all map projections, yes.
Butterfly.
Yeah, it has its own Wikipedia page. In fact, if you go to Wikipedia list of map projections, there are over 90. And I think actually, historically, I don't know, Joe will know, there are like hundreds of attempts to make the world, which is spherical roughly, onto a flat plane.
I think the advantages of maps are that they are more visual, so it's in the most cases easier to understand what they show you instead of looking at a table.
With maps and things, the colours, you know, a lot of maps are very colourful and that can draw you in quite a lot to reading things. Obviously if a map's just black and white and it's very complicated, I think that might maybe put you off.
Joe, can you tell us, tell us a bit about how maps have shaped our awareness of the world and sort of left political legacies that persist to this day? I mean, there are countless examples, but just to take us through some of your favourites and perhaps just explain to us how fundamental mapping is to our understanding of the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, map projections is a great segue into how important maps are in our lives. I mean, if we go back to, before GPS, when we were using maps to navigate the seas, I think the most common map projection used on world maps nowadays is the Mercator projection, which was, developed in the 16th century, I think, by a Flemish cartographer, Mercator. Which was great back in the day because it meant that, you know, ships could essentially draw a straight line on the map and that would be a true bearing of their navigation. But nowadays it's less important to have that, and the sort of legacy of that map is it distorts the polar regions massively. So the typical example is Greenland. You look at a political world map in a classroom and Greenland will be almost bigger than Africa, if not bigger. Whereas in reality it fits into Africa 14 times. And Russia almost twice. So it's our vision of the world has been distorted over hundreds of years. So when you show a true size or an equal Earth projection or something, then it's sort of it's shocking. I mean, don't get me wrong, no map projection is perfect because you're trying to put a globe onto a 2D plane. So there are always sacrifices to be made. It's always sort of a compromise. And at Eurostat, we choose to use the Robinson projection, which is seen as a good compromise to maintain the sort of...
If you go to Google Maps, even right now, and anybody listening now, and they went to Google Maps and they zoomed right out, they would see the Mercator projection. They would see this enormous Greenland compared to modest-sized Africa. Why are Google, who you'd think would know about these things, still using a map projection made in the 1600s?
Yeah, it wasn't seen as a problem for a long time. But we forget about sort of cognitive bias that we have as a result of seeing, you know, Europe being larger than it is compared to other regions, etc. But thankfully, there is sort of a movement growing in the cartographic space where people are starting to move towards better map projections. And in fact, I think even, the one you mentioned will be moving towards more of a composite map projection in the near future. So,
400 years late, tech giants. They move slowly, don't they? Hannes, let me come to you now, talking about the work of GISCO. It's the Geographical Information System of the European Commission, essentially the Commission's map maker. Can you just unpack that a little bit for us? And maybe also, I just wonder if people, maybe thanks to the internet now, are a little bit more aware of maps than they used to be. What do you think?
We're providing corporate-level services. You know, we're getting the data, we're making them correct and bring them up to standard. And then we're bringing out these services to everyone in the European institutions. To your second question, what happened over the last couple of years that in the past people have just got the data, but what had completely changed is now we provide services. We provide what we call in nerd speak application programming interfaces, APIs. And people pick that up and suddenly they are much more map aware, API aware, and our services are somewhere used in the European institution, in, like in the Committee of the Regions or wherever you name it. And suddenly it's, and you see an uptick. And this is like, just to answer your question, are people more map aware? Yes. I mean, coming back to your first question where you said about statistics. Yeah, if you make Germany, everybody knows the geometry of Germany. You know how Germany looks like. But someone needs to provide this, what we call geometry, to the user.
I think you can definitely locate everything way better. Just because when I see like an Excel table, I will not know what to do with that information. And when I see that something is like in a big city or just wherever in what country, you can definitely like, you know, see more of why the things are the way that they are.
A bar graph is abstract, but everyone recognizes their bit of the map. You know, so if you see a number next to your country, you automatically zone into it. It's a very easy way to send data across the world, I think.
Perfect. Well, as well as geography, maps help us understand the data about individual territories as we show population, economics, employment, and whatever it might be in each of those territorial units, the mosaic tiles, if you like, that make up the EU's regions. And we'll be coming to Ricardo to find out a little bit more about that. But I mean, Joe, as a cartographer, just tell me a bit about how powerful maps are for explaining data at the granular level, at region by region level.
In terms of efficiency, if you just imagine, you compare the speed in which you can sort of gauge values, you can read values in a table, in a list, and then compare that to those regions plotted on a map, you know, your eye is automatically drawn to where you want to see, essentially. So the speed in which a reader can get an impression of a data set is almost immediate with a map, whereas with a table or maybe some other form of chart is not as efficient. So in terms of speed, right, straight off the bat, you know, a map is super efficient. And also in terms of the tools that cartographers have to visualize data, shape, size, orientation, color, hue, textures, they are also immediate. So if you have a color ramp going from light to dark, the dark values on a light background will immediately stand out. So the user can immediately gain an impression on a map of Europe of which are, you know, the outliers, which are the highest values, which are the lowest values. So in terms of a data visualization tool for geospatial data, you know, it's the best. Of course, I'm going to say that because I'm a cartographer, but yeah.
But Joe, may I contribute then to that one as well? Because Jonathan, what you ask here, or what Joe has outlined here, is from, let's say, a cartographic perspective. but you need to also take into account that countries are all different size, right? So compare Luxembourg to my home country, Germany. There's completely huge differences in terms of area, in terms of population. And for that one, we have statistical regions. And one word which will always come up and which the podcast readers, listeners have heard is the NUTS, which divides a country by its area and population to standardize it. So we have similarized size areas here to make them comparable.
Awesome. Yes. Worth remembering the NUTS acronym here refers to regional subdivisions in the EU that help to compare like with like. We'll be hearing more about those. And they subdivide countries to something like 244 regions that then subdivide again down to 1,200 or so. Very handy in understanding EU stats. Constantina, I just wanted to ask you, what are the kinds of visualization in your experience that have made a difference to the conversations in the general public among your social media users?
Every time we use a map on social media, this is successful. And there are cases when we used to have just a raw figure for the EU. And then when we presented the same information for all EU countries in the form of a map, we saw a spike on comments, on shares. So that was quite successful on social media. And there are several cases where a timeline, for example, or a bar chart, or basically there are cases where a map complements the information presented on a timeline. For example, there was a case where we had, in the form of a timeline, the crop production, the cereal production in the EU. And then we had a map to show data about maximum temperature. And that was a way to complement what was presented in the timeline.
I mean, it follows common sense, doesn't it? Because your attention is drawn immediately to something that's got visual interest. Of course it is. And then you're going to follow and want to unpack exactly what you're seeing.
And of course, whenever we have regional data, there is always a map to present it. There is no other more effective way to do so.
I think I remember recently I had to go through a list of all the maps that have been published on Eurostat social media. And I think of the top 10 posts across all social media channels last year for Eurostat, they were all maps. So they are consistent performers.
You can visualize the data by color coordination if you have a legend at the bottom that properly highlights what each portion is showing, or you can have pinpoint locations as well that have a blurb or a sort of explanation of what the data is showing, and then again have a legend.
Ricardo, I wanted to come to you here because showing data in this way is obviously attractive and it illuminates different stories and trends and so on, but it also helps policy discussions, doesn't it? It helps people in different regions evaluate their own social and economic geography in comparison to other regions. Can you just tell us a little bit about how this is more than merely decorative and interesting? It's actually a useful tool for policy, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I can give you two examples that come to my mind. Within the COR, we also deal with the territorial impact assessment. Yes, in this framework, we had a presentation in a working group of the council where my director showed different maps created on the basis of the territorial impact assessments. And this started a discussion with the delegates within the working group, which was absolutely very welcome. This gives an example of how just showing a few maps, you can get more interest from the policymakers themselves. And they try to understand how the sensitivity of their own region was more or less affected on different specific impact assessments that we have done by ourselves. This is just an example. As a more generic one, I can give you also an example of a map from a communication of the European Commission where they analyze what Green Deal means for regions. And as you can see, in one side, you can have how regions will benefit from the Green Deal, from the transition, while on the other side, you can see the regions which will have more challenges than benefit coming from the transition, coming from the Green Deal per se. If you think about the Green Deal, not everything is fantastic. Not everything is working fine. But this is the macro idea that you get. Once you get the vision of the regional perspective, you can see why this is not working, why some regions which are heavily industrialized cannot benefit from the transition, from the Green Deal. whilst others, which are more rural than urban, can also have more benefits than challenges and vice versa. The same policy can have different aspects just based on a map. And a map can help you to compare. For example, the north is very welcome towards the transition. The south needs the means. So, of course, for them, for those regions, the transition is more a problem, a challenge than a solution, than a benefit. And I can go on, but this clearly shows a divide. And this divide, as Constantina will say, generates interaction, generates comments, generates questions. Why? What can we do? What do you do? Which are the best practices that we can use? Maps can definitely help policy, and I think they absolutely do so.
It is fantastic how these maps can accelerate the understanding of a discussion. It's like putting the whole debate on steroids and taking everybody to a more advanced level. Because once you've got the map in front of you, those are the facts, those are the hard data in picture form, to be sure, but you can't really argue with it. So then you may as well start discussing the significance and what policy interventions there should be, and so on and so on and so on. But we're going to take a little break now and invite our loyal listeners to delve further into the world of maps, stats and data in part two of this podcast, in which we'll be looking at the dark side of data visualization in maps and what happens when they go wrong. And we'll be hearing about how Barbie the movie got banned in Vietnam all because of a map. If you'd like to know more about the amazing maps that can be made with JISCO's image map-making tool, then you should head to Eurostat's webinar on that very subject, which will take place mid-April. Check out the Eurostat website for more details. Goodbye.